Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. We're all familiar with races. It was just a few weeks ago perhaps you watched some of the Summer Olympics, and it doesn't matter what event it is, the important thing is not that you start the finish well, the race well, but that you what? That you finish it. Well, a lot of times people start, and we've observed that sometimes they stumble, they fall, and their hopes of any kind of an award are dashed because they are not able to complete the task, the race before them. 1 Kings chapter 13 is the story of such an individual, and it's a familiar story, but it's the story of a man who did not finish well, and because of that, he got in trouble. Oh, he started out so good, but he didn't finish well. And if you like titles, let's call this one Listening to the Wrong Voice. Listening to the Wrong Voice. Let's look at our story here, and let's look at those first 10 verses. Behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. We'll stop right here. Jeroboam, good king, bad king. What? Bad. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. How can you forget something like that? He was the first king of the divided northern kingdom. What was it that we remember him for as far as him not being a good king? He erected two idols, one to the north of northern region of Israel, one to the southern, one in Dan, one at Bethel. And the reason he did that is Jeroboam did not want God's people going back south to worship the true God in the region of Judah. And so he built their own places of worship. You don't have to go down there. You can just worship here. And so we find that the Lord sent a man from Judah to Bethel, where one of those false idols was. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he, this man of God, cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. Nice little pronouncement that he made on it, wasn't it? But still, this was God's prophet being sent there, and he pronounced this curse on this altar at Bethel. And verse 3, he gave a sign the same day, saying, "This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall be split, and the ashes on it shall be poured out." So it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard this saying, heard the saying of the man of God who cried out against the altar on Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar. Now remember, Jeroboam was right there, and he heard that pronouncement. And when he heard it, he stretched out his arm, his hand from the altar, saying, "Arrest him." Then his hand, which he had stretched out toward him, withered, so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar was split apart. What's the significance of that? What did this man of God say? "I'm going to give you a sign to let you know this is going to happen." And just minutes later, what happened to that altar? It split, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, "Please entreat the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me." So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and it became as before. Then the king said to the man of God, "Come home with me and refresh yourself. Let me give you something to eat, and I will give you a reward for doing what? Restoring my arm, hand back to normal use." But the man of God said to the king, "If you were to give me half of your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place, for so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, 'You shall not eat bread nor drink water nor return by the same way you came.' So he went another way and did not return by the way that he came to Bethel." As we look at this, let's notice, as we think about the story, we see the early performance of this man of God. Who was this man of God? It's never told us in Scripture. That's just the designation. His name was not important. It was just the fact that he was a servant of the Lord, and the Lord had sent him on this job. And we see his early performances to God's instructions. We saw in verse 1 that he was obedient. He went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord. We see that he was bold in what he had to say in verse 2 as he cried out against that altar, saying that on you men's bones are going to be burned, and there's someone in the future who's going to be born. His name is Josiah, and he's going to burn people's bones on you. And we see that he gave that sign, told them what was going to happen. And of course, as the story goes on, the king didn't like that. His hand was crippled up. But we see something about this man in verse 6. He was compassionate. The king answered and said, "Please entreat the favor of the Lord your God for me." And this prophet did. He prayed and felt sorry for the king, and the Lord did. He responded back. He got the use of his arm back in answer to this unnamed prophet's prayer. And we see in verses 8 through 10 that he was committed to the task that God had given him. You see, the king, to show his appreciation, had invited him to come home. Let me give you a bite to eat. I'll even give you a reward. But we notice in verses 8, 9, and 10 that this prophet said, I can't do that. It wouldn't matter if you were wanting to give me half of your realm. God told me, don't leave the same way that I came. And I can't go back into town with you. Don't leave the same way I came. If you came in from the southern side of town, the Lord said, you leave on the north side of town, or whatever it was, you go home, you leave a different way. And as we come through those first 10 verses, what kind of a score would we give this unnamed prophet? We'd give him all A's, wouldn't we? This guy is doing exactly what God asked him to do. But as the passage continues, we get another look. In verses 19 and 11 through 19, let's continue on. Now, an old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. Who was this old prophet? We don't know. We don't know. Just like we don't know who the man of God was. But we see that here was an old prophet that was living right there in Bethel. And he had sons, and they came home and they said, hey, Dad, guess what? You won't believe what happened here. And they told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. You should have heard that man. Man, he was bold. He wasn't afraid to look Jeroboam in the eyes and pronounce that against him. Boy, he was something. And their father said unto them, well, which way did he go? And his sons had seen which way the man of God went, who came from Judah. Then he said to his sons, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. And he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. How does this differ than what the king asked? Really nothing different, was there? Same thing. Earlier to the king, he said, you could offer me half of your kingdom and I won't go because God said, this is what I'm supposed to do. Now this old unnamed prophet, he said, come home with me and eat bread. And he, the first man, said, I cannot return with you nor go in with you. Neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. How's he doing on his track record here? How's he doing on running his race? Hey, man, he is going right down to the letter, isn't he? Everything God gave him to do. Until we come to verse 18. And he, the old man, said to him, I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house that he may eat bread and drink water. He was what? He was lying to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. As we look at this, we see in verses 11 through 19 the introduction of another prophet. We saw the invitation in verse 15, come to my house, get something to eat, get something to drink. We saw the refusal in verse 16 and 17. That same commitment to what God has as far as the purpose for his life. And we see him strong to refuse. This is the second time that he has refused that invitation. First, to the king. Second, to this unnamed prophet. I can't go back with you. God told me I can't eat or drink anything here. I've just got to get out of town the same in a different way than I came in. But we see a change in verses 18 and 19. There are some that have suggested that this unnamed first prophet, his first mistake in this whole story, is there something that catches you as a mistake? What's that? Sitting under the yoke. That seems to be mistake number one. After he did his thing, pronounced the curse on the altar, prayed in answer to prayer, and God restored the king's arm and hand, he went a ways out of town, and then rather than continuing to distance himself, going out a different way. Perhaps mistake number one was him to not keep on keeping on, but to sit down. Well, I did what I was supposed to do. I got my job done. I'm just going to sit here for a while. I'm tired. Ever feel like sitting down? Yeah. But you know, sometimes that it does get us in trouble. Sometimes we pause when we should be pursuing. And it seems, at least in my mind, if that guy would have kept on going, the remaining part of the story would not have occurred. But nevertheless, the old man found him in verses 18 and 19, and he told him, well, I'm a prophet. You're a prophet. God talks to you. An angel talked to me. And the angel said, it's all right to bring you back, give you something to eat, let you rest and get something to drink. And that might sound pretty convincing. But there's one thing we see with this problem for the first prophet is he was persuaded by a story that someone else told him. What's wrong with that? What's that? That wasn't what God told him. Mistake number one, besides sitting under the oak, was instead of this man being consistent and saying, you know, God didn't tell me that. You know, you might think God told you it's okay, but until God tells me, I'm going to continue doing what I believe God would have me to do. You know, sadly, that this thing is duplicated multiple times. Christians, they start out and they say, this is what I believe God would have me to do. And they start talking with friends and they start talking with others. And the others say, well, you know, I used to think that way too, but... And they start telling their story and how good it sounds and how it seems like. And you begin, well... Maybe I've got this all wrong. Maybe it is okay if I go here, if I do that. You know, I used to think I shouldn't be doing that as a Christian, but they're doing it. And they say, you know, the Lord's given them peace about it. What's wrong with me doing it? Sound a little familiar? I'm afraid it does. And instead of this first man maintaining his commitment to, you know, sir, with all due respect, you know, until the Lord tells me, shows me in his word, sends an angel, and the angel from the Lord tells me, I'm not going to listen to you. It sounds so easy on paper, doesn't it? But sadly, so many times we allow ourselves to be pulled off course. And we find ourselves saying, doing, agreeing with things that we would not have given thought to that. Well, he said, she said, they told me, but did God tell you? That's what this chapter is all about. We like to pat ourselves on the back about we started so well in our journey with the Lord. So did this unnamed prophet. The first 17 verses of that chapter, he was right down the line until he allowed himself, he entertained, well, you know, God... I thought God wanted me to leave the same way that I came. I didn't think God wanted me to go back. But he said, and he's even got an angel told him, when all the while the old man was just lying through his teeth. Now there are some that have suggested, why did that old man do that? Any ideas? Stan?
The devil probably had something to do with it.
The devil had something to do with it.
He heard how the Lord restored the other guy's hand.
Test from God.
What's that?
Test from God.
Was God testing his, you know, devil? Yeah. Was the old man jealous that the first guy had healed, had some remarkable things going on? Could it have been the old man was testing him to see how? You say you're a believer. You say this is the guidelines that you live by. Let's just see if you're who you say you are. I don't know what the answer is. I just pose that. But the tragic ending is verses 20 through 24, aren't they? It happened as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back, and he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, "Thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you." There we go. This is what we were talking about. This is where he went wrong. He did not stay committed to what he knew was God's will for his life. You did not keep the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but you came back, ate bread, drank water in the place which the Lord said, "Eat no bread and drink no water. Your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers." What's that? You're not going to make it home. You're not even going to make it home for them to bury you. So it was, after he had eaten bread, after he had drunk, that he saddled the donkey for him, the old man, saddled the prophet whom he had brought. That was nice of him. Yeah.
It's easier to believe a lie. And believe a lie sometimes a lot quicker than believe the truth.
Sometimes we do, don't we? When he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him, and his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the corpse. Lions kill for what reason?
Meat.
Pardon?
Meat.
Yeah, food. But this lion, he wasn't hungry at all. He was just a servant from the Lord. How do we know that lion wasn't hungry? You got two clues. How many times do you see a lion standing right next to a live donkey? Best of buddies. But there they stood, both the donkey and the lion. If lions could think, I wonder what he was thinking. Did I just do that? What did I do that for? As the donkey and the lion were both just looking at the corpse as it lay there on the road. As we think of this, such a good beginning, we would rate this guy and we would say, "Yeah, man, you were one of God's most exemplary prophets. You did everything that he told you to do, Well, part of the way. But you didn't finish the job he gave you to do. As we think of this, how often we discover people that fall. These things, people say, just like this, oh, he's such a good preacher. He's written some good books. I thought I could trust what he said. He's got the credentials. This was an old man, an old prophet of the Lord. But this first guy should not have listened, should he? That messed him up. And the second one is when people are so quick to quote their source of authority. An angel told me. You know, I was listening to this broadcast and I heard the preacher say such and such. And you know, it just made such sense to me. What do you think? And so many times we are pulled off course rather than us following the leading that the Lord gives us. You see, people today make that same mistake just like this unnamed prophet did. As we think of that, the prophet's problem was he didn't live up to what he knew God's word was for him. He claimed it there for a while. God told me, I can't go back with you. God told me, I can't go back with you. But he was willing to listen to another voice, even when it went against what God had told him. May God help us. May God help us. You say, are there people that would be out to throw us a curve and mess us up? Yes or no? Sure there are. And like Frank said, the devil, he works overtime to try, and he will use whomever, however, and we need to stay committed. Questions or comments on this one? Yeah, Frank. Yep, yep.
Because of that, here we are.
Suppose it is okay for someone else to do something. If God hasn't shown you or me, does that make it right for us? Just because someone else says, I don't see a problem with that, it's okay. But God hasn't given me the green light. I need to stay firm. Anyone else?
Well, it's like neither man nor angel's words should ever override the command of the Lord.
That's right. Doesn't matter what man or an angel. Even Paul in the book of Galatians said, in Galatians chapter 1, we'll close with this, when he said, as we've said before, so now say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. And he had said in another place, I've missed it here. Somewhere right in there he talks about even if an angel comes along and says something different than the gospel you've heard, don't listen to it. If it doesn't line up with this, then there's our answer. And may the Lord help us live up to that. Lord bless you. It's time for that buzzer to go. Emily's just dozing in there, so we'll be dismissed.